In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Our meditation is titled, God's Grace Heals Deep Hurt. That's the fundamental message of the Christian church. God's grace. Grace. God treating us in amazing ways. God blessing our lives more than we can comprehend. And what that grace does in terms of healing us from our separation from Him and our separation from each other. That grace which heals the deep hurt of our sinful condition and across all the ways it messes up our lives. You know, this is our message. And it's a message that changes our lives. God's grace heals deep hurts. Perhaps you started grasping that grace as a kid, realizing what it means to be forgiven, what it means to know that God loves. But you get a little older and you start realizing how many ways you fail as a teenager and all the ways you screw things up. And to hear that you're forgiven, to hear that God has you covered, you know, for all the ways we hurt ourselves as we grow up and realize how we fall short, this grace of God heals our deep hurts. But as we start recognizing the people around us, seeing things and interacting with people, we realize how we can mess those things up and how the grace of God can make all the difference in the world, especially when we get married and that significant other, after the honeymoon is worn out, we realize can hurt us. And we need to share that grace with them and to, in grace, go forward. This grace is so amazing. We learn how much we need grace as we carry out our lives, as we try our best at our first job, how hard it can be and how difficult it is to be in a new place among new people. I mean, we just keep learning more and more across our life what it means for the grace of God to be the very thing that we need to receive, and as we learn to share it with others who need it just as much as we do. Now, grace and mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve, if you can follow that. It's mercy is not getting God's judgment thrown at us forever. And grace is, here's even more to bless your life now. And this is what you can look forward to as you start looking beyond this world to the shores of forever. God's grace is so rich. But to be sure, all this grace comes to us in less than an academic way. This grace reaches us through the messes that we make in our lives, the messes people make of our lives, the messes we make together, and the dangers, toils, and snares that we sing about in the hymn Amazing Grace. So it's anything but academic, this grace. And you know, case in point, Joseph. We're at a good place in his life in chapter 45, but there are some epic dangers, toils, and snares that Joseph had to face. He was dad's favorite. Not good to play favorites. And his brothers didn't like it, to the point where they decided they would kill him. And they wanted to, but for a couple of them talking the siblings out of it, so they decided to sell him. I know siblings are a challenge, but that's pretty serious. They want their brother dead. He knows it. Now he's separated from his father, his favorite little brother. And just imagine what was going on in Joseph's heart and mind. Feeling so rejected. Understanding he is so hated. And now he's in a foreign country away from his family, his friends. And he's got to go through all kinds of challenging things. He's accused falsely. He's imprisoned. And don't you suppose that when Joseph was going through this, there were times when he thought to himself, wow, what's going on here, Lord? He sought to be a godly man in a foreign country. He sought to be someone who wanted to live out the life of a believer in relationship with God and the people around him. Not an easy thing to do. Now, people who do brain science, one in particular, Daniel Amen from the Amen Clinic, a brain doctor for many, many years, he's done scans, he does a lot of research, and he has shown in his scans of brains how malicious thoughts can actually burn holes in the brain's the dendrite. I mean, does that sound scary or what? That he calls them black holes. That we actually injure our brains with malicious thoughts or sinful thoughts. And there's a lot coming out with other challenges in terms of our sinful condition. So we can literally hurt our brains thinking about things the wrong way, unhealthy way. What happens, in layman's term, when a person thinks malicious thoughts, some chemicals from the body are flood to the brain. And actually, I don't know if those chemicals are trying to shut down the stinking thinking or what, but it's crazy what happens to the brain. It gets physically injured. How many ways do you suppose Joseph was tempted to go that way? I mean, it's a pretty epic story, and it's amazing to consider how Joseph addresses his brothers when they come to Egypt because they're literally starving to death and they need food, and how God lines everything up for Joseph to help them. And it's such an interesting thing in chapter 45 to hear how did the verse 5 go? Do not therefore be grieved. He says this too. I mean, if anyone knows what it's like to grieve, who do you suppose knows? It's Joseph. Or angry with yourselves. If anybody knew what it meant to feel angry, I'm sure Joseph knew that. He doesn't want his brothers to be grieving or angry. He says, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. I mean, wow, what a different perspective. As Joseph went through his real challenges, painful, deep hurts, God was using those things in ways only God could use them. It's grace. It's grace. And there's very little about it that's academic. It's painful. But Joseph has learned so much from what he's gone through. And he shares it with his brothers, encouraging them not to grieve or to be angry with themselves. It's interesting. This is the guy who was rejected by all of his brothers. He was separated from the father that he loved. And his father had to go through the loss of a son. I mean, all this time he thought his son was dead. And the deception and the manipulation of this family, Joseph had to deal with all of it. And yet, you know, he says to his brothers later on, his brothers are having a hard time receiving that grace. You know, they still want to tell stories. Well, you know, your father wants you to forgive us. And it's interesting, Joseph says this in chapter 50, but Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? See, Joseph understands where his place is. He understands that God is God and he's not. As for you, you meant evil against me. I mean, tell the truth. This is what it was. But God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Does that mean that God is the author of evil? No. No, but he can take the things that hurt us, that just devastate us, and he can work with them in such a way that they become blessings. Now, that's not our economy. That's God's economy. When we assess things with our senses and our skills, knowledge, and abilities, we draw our conclusions and we think, what's the use, or what's, you know, why try, or why go forward? But God's ways are not our ways. And Joseph understood that. God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Joseph realizes that, you know, God needed to get Joseph where he was. And so despite what was happening and all the evil and wickedness Joseph faced, God was at work carrying out his plan, his will, fighting in a sense against evil. Now, I mean, this is to save lives. Well, if we really want to think about saving lives, we shift ahead a little ways to another one like Joseph, but one who was without sin, one who was without the needing of grace, and that's Jesus. Think of what the human race has done to the Son of Man. Think of what Jesus faced to rescue us and save our lives. It's amazing. It's grace. To think that God sent his Son to love us to death is so encouraging. Paul says it this way: for our sake, God, that he is God there, made him to be, that is Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, that is Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took our place. He faced it all. For all of our sin, wickedness, and transgression, he took it all so that we would now become the righteousness of God. And that is what we are, and that is what we have by faith in Jesus. We look at ourselves and we see a mess. We see, well, we try, we see how we fail. But looking to Jesus, trusting in him, that's grace. And because of him, God pours his grace upon our lives in all kinds of ways. Some we're aware of, others we're not. He just loves us. He gives us his grace. And that grace helps us to live in hope, peace, joy, and love. I mean, how many ways have you rebelled against God in your life and you've forgotten about it? That's grace. Now, I'm sure there are some ways in your life where you still have the memory, but you know you're forgiven. Perhaps there are some places in your life where you're not forgiving yourself. And this is where today God says, my grace is for that very thing. And that grace will heal and bless and change the way that you think. It's fascinating that brain science now is catching up to things Christians have known since grace came. How we can be healed from our deep hurts. How we can learn to forgive ourselves and forget. How we can also forgive others. You know, this is such a powerful gift, the fundamental gift of God and the fundamental message of the Christian church: God's grace heals deep hurt. And it means that we are understanding more and more the difference between God's economy of love versus our own. They are so different. God's economy of love is so different than our own economy. We assess things with our senses, we use our skills, knowledge, and abilities, and then we draw our conclusions and we make our judgments, and they're just so different than God's. But that's what God also comes to the rescue for as well, as he continues to give us his love, his agape. And his love is a lot different than ours. It's interesting, there are different words in the Greek language for different kinds of love. So how many of you love beer and pizza? Maybe too much. All right. You know, when we love things in excess, that's called hedonism or hedony. And so it's one of those things where, well, I've got to stop being such a heathen with, I mean, for me, it's potato chips. And I'm trying, but man. And you know, hedony, it's just a strong thing. I like, you know, fill in the blank. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus would have us love others with. There's another kind of love. It's called eros. It's mother bear, papa bear kind of love. Don't mess with my kids. It's a very strong love. It's eros. It's a fleshly love. It's a don't mess with my family. Don't mess with my friends. It's eros. But that's not the kind of love that God would have us love others with. That kind of love comes to us naturally. And then there's phileo. And when you put two Greek words together, Philadelphia, it's the city of brotherly love. But phileo is like. I mean, how many of you, you know, love some favorite football team and then like some other ones? There's a big difference there, isn't there? Even in the way you think about them. But again, that's something that we're just naturally drawn to do as well as the other kind of loves, hedone, eros, and phileo. But put a crown of thorns on my head, I love you. Spit in my face, I love you. Nail me to a cross, I love you. Gosh, that's the kind of love we're to have. The kind of love that God has for his enemies who misuse him, who spitefully abuse him, who say all kinds of bad things about him. And to be sure, for us who have experienced this grace, this love, we want to love God, but we also see how we can fall short. But it's interesting how this love, this agape love, so they did brain scans and they saw how hearing about forgiveness and mercy and love heals the and makes the connections again. Fascinating how science is catching up to theology. How wonderful it is to hear the message of God's grace, his unconditional love for sinners, for people just like you and me. That changes our lives. And it does heal deep hurts. Now, to be sure, there can be places that still hurt. I mean, I talked with a guy I've known ever since we were kids whose older daughter was abducted and murdered, like, I don't know, 25, 28 years ago. Oh, longer than that, 35 years ago. And they caught the one who did it, and the mom and dad forgave him. He's serving a sentence. He's paying his price. But his victim's parents forgave him, and that just blew away everybody. I talked with him about his sister and his parents, and I cherish that. Because I just hadn't had a chance to talk to the family for many, many years. Now that's loving our enemies. And when I say things like this, you know, we all realize how hard it is to love. Because that's impossible in and of ourselves. And that's why we call agape supernatural. It's love that is focused on us. It's love caring for us. It's love that's helping us live more and more in God's economy and less in our own. Now, we'll make judgment calls this brand new week. Anybody going to be driving down 75? I mean, you can't help but make some judgment calls, right? But will you do so that you can pray for the people, that they can get to where they're going? I mean, treat them the way you want to be treated. Hopefully they'll pray for you too when you're a little out of control on the road. Yeah. You know, it's a challenge, this unconditional love. This, how does Jesus say it? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. That's a very challenging thing. And yet, you and I understand that this is a command. And it's something that we certainly want to try to do, and we know that we need to do. And even as we fall short in doing this, aren't you glad that this is the way God loves you all the time? Amen? And so as we live in God's perfect love, we are learning to love. And across those lessons of learning to love others in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our relations, in our friendships, as we learn how to love, we'll see how we fall short. But may we grow more and more aware of just how much God loves us. In the name of Jesus. And may God continue to heal the deep hurts in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.